Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. This is Mary. And today we're talking about something that is quietly impacting millions of people and millions of families. The mental and emotional health of our young people. We're seeing a rising of anxiety, isolation, confusion, especially among young men. And I think the deeper question is that have we removed meaning and replaced it with distraction? Scripture reminds us in Jeremiah 29:11 that God has a plan filled with hope and a future. And yet many people today don't even feel that hope. They're searching and they're often settling for substitutes. Today, we're going to talk about what's really going on and what we can do about this crisis. Today, I'm joined by somebody who has spent decades helping people navigate change and crisis. And you are about to hear from one of the most trusted voices in mental health today. Dwight Bain is a nationally recognized expert, author, and speaker with over 30 years' experience helping people overcome anxiety, handle crisis, change, and to step into a more stronger, purposeful life. He's the founder of LifeWork Groups here in Orlando, Florida, Central Florida, and he is known for delivering real, practical solutions that actually work. And today we're tackling a topic that every parent and every leader and every person needs to know. Dwight, welcome to the show. I am so glad you're here. Thank you for joining us today.
It is a great honor to be in the studio with you, especially on a topic that has national implications.
For sure.
And some people are even saying, if we don't get this right, you'll lose your country. If you lose the next generation, you lost America.
That's devastating. We could crumble and fall like Rome did.
It's exactly the path some people have us on. The good news, when you think about some of your listeners are true patriots and they understand that when you see massive disruption, it's not a time to panic. It's a time to plan, prepare, strategize. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we're going to give your listeners today.
I love that. That's so great. That's so powerful. We all need that right now. It's not just the young people. We are going to talk about the youth mental health crisis today. But give me an overall picture. What's the big picture that you're seeing of the younger youth today, and then also of adults and what they're going through? What are people going through? We've got the war, we've got AI, we've got so much disruptive change. Could you give us a few years back and what it's like now, that contrast?
Sure, absolutely, because I love quantum physics, which includes time travel. And if you study certain patterns, you know what next week looks like, next year looks like. Why? Because history tends to repeat. Let's hyphenate the word history into his story. God has a greater story. So when we look at how did we get to this point, $4 a gallon gasoline, how did we get to this point? OMG, what's happening? And I'm holding in my hand, Mary, to your listeners, those that are watching can see a small screen.
Yeah.
Small screens was part of getting here. When we look at the youth mental health crisis, there would be no youth mental health crisis if the smartphones in 2010 did not have a front-facing camera. That's what Jonathan Haidt in his book, The Anxious Generation, found.
Wow.
Surveying after surveying after survey. And this is global. If you take away screen addiction, which for girls is going to be social media like TikTok or Instagram. For boys, it's going to be video games, porn, crypto, gambling. But when you take away the screen, young people are okay. Over half of the mental health crisis is because of screens. Now, let's look at adults who are feeling stressed, burned out, frustrated. The fear that AI is going to take their job, and in some industries, that's accurate.
It's a real concern.
We'll go back to the same thing. How did we get here? Because if we step back, and by the way, hi, my name's Dwight. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I told you so. Because when you step back and you look at who's in charge of the screen, who's in charge of the screen that you watch may be the person who's programming your thinking. Many of your listeners are listening to or watching Fox News, and they believe it. Other people may say, well, no, I listen to MSNBC, CNBC. I look at the financial stuff. Other people say, I only get my news from X. Who are you listening to?
Yeah.
And do they have your best interest at heart? And when I start to think about this mental health crisis, so much anxiety that people feel, by the way, the number one reason people go to counseling is for anxiety.
Wow.
They're worried about job, worried about money, worried about the relationship, worried about their future. Can we afford? And I remind everybody to stop, take a breath, nostril breath, let it out through your mouth, calm, relax your shoulders. There is a mighty God who is not panicked.
Yes.
And there is a God who is in control. So when I look at where did it come from, a lot of it came from screens and news sources, and none of it came from something that, and I have to reflect, tell you a quick story, Mary. The last time I was in this studio, about 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, across the microphone was Mr. Pat Williams.
Oh, man, I miss Pat. What a delightful, amazing person.
And Pat always was known. What a great friend. Everybody that met Pat said he makes me feel like his best friend.
Yes, he did.
Pat always said, read for your life. Because when I look at where does the panic come from, it doesn't come from reading.
Yeah.
It comes from watching.
Right.
And today we're going to share with your listeners, these are ways to come out of the panic, out of the pressure, out of the stress, and to be able to take a breath and say, I don't have to lose my family, my job, my marriage. I don't have to lose.
Yeah.
But I do have to give up doing some things that are not working.
I agree. And what you just said about reading is so important. And I had a client that did a study of the brain, and reading a book versus reading online actually has different results in your brain. And so I agree. I think that's a really good key. I've been trying to do that during Lent and read more, and I do feel more calm. I think that your strategies are working. It's definitely worth trying for sure, is to get off of social media. Very hard to do. Are there addictive properties in it? Is that why we keep going back, that we get a feel good kind of a surge of adrenaline?
That's it. Well, it's not adrenaline. It's dopamine.
Dopamine,
right? So I'm holding up to those that are watching on the screen, right? Yep. So here's a brain, and it's a dopamine hit. So when I'm scrolling, and for some people, they'll say, I'm not addicted to my screen. I just go and buy stuff on Amazon I don't really need. Right. Okay, friends, we call that an addiction. Or for other people, they're scrolling through cute cat videos on TikTok. And other people are scrolling through really, you know, interesting things that they find about news. And, all right, dopamine. It's a dopamine hit. It's exactly programmed to make my brain want more. And so it's a scrolling process on a screen. And remember, where did that come from? It came from casinos. The early developers at Facebook said, oh, the people that are pulling slot machines, they can't get enough of the slot machine. If you can tie your eye to a hand movement or a finger movement of tracking on a screen, you can make somebody very addicted. Now, how can I tell if I'm addicted? I can't stop doing it. So somebody says,
that makes sense.
Everybody knows somebody that says, I'm not addicted to alcohol or tobacco or eating potato chips and junk food. I can quit anytime I want. Okay, well, great. Do
that. Then do it.
And they'll say, well, you know what? I'm not addicted to tobacco, but I'm just going to, I'll quit tomorrow. I'll quit eating junk food tomorrow. You know what? I'm going to, I know I should go to bed at night instead of watching the late night comics, but I'll do that.
Yeah.
And so what happens, well, that's called denial. And the queen of denial is not an old country. Well, I guess it is an old country song.
Right.
Denial is exactly. to not look at it's something hard. In your life. And when I look at scripture and when I look at godly people of wisdom, they challenge us to do better. They challenge us to live a simple, stress-free, peaceful life. How do I get there? I believe it starts with a stop. Stop the screens. See how you feel after about 3 days. Because if you're addicted, the first couple of days are going to be pretty rough.
Yeah, it's like a diet, having to start doing a whole bunch of veggies or anything. And it does, you're saying to stop, which I do think, of course, you have to have that mentality, but also put other good things in. So
you
if you are, I know that for myself, because I also scroll, I love those cat videos. They're fun. And the dog ones too, and the horse and all those kind of things. And the opossums, I love them. They're so cute. But when you say, all right, I got to get up and work out. So from that time, and then I have to do this. And then if you add some fun things into your like laughter, I think if people were to spend time with individuals that make them laugh, not go to the screen, but find that person in your life that makes you excited and fun and have a good time with, have a conversation. get on that front porch and invite somebody over. So I love all these things because that can give you that dopamine. You're seeking dopamine is what you're saying. Is that right?
So it's a different brain chemical.
Okay.
Oxytocin is sitting on the front porch having a conversation.
Okay.
And it's like feeling hugged.
Aww.
You feel cared for mm-hmm. when we're in connected relationship. Dopamine yeah. is a quick hit.
Okay.
And oh. it's almost instant. Mm. And that's why the things that are addictive, think yeah. gambling or pornography or people that are, you know, yeah. buying stuff, it's addictive.
Yes.
And they'll say, I'm not addicted. Okay. Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
But if I look at sitting, getting rid of a screen or, and we've all seen it, you go to a restaurant and hear people, they're paying for a meal and everybody's on a screen.
For sure. It's so horrible to see that.
And they're not connecting
they're
to
not
each
connecting.
Other. It's the
yeah.
connecting to each other that okay. creates another brain chemical called oxytocin.
The oxytocin.
Where I feel hugged and cared for.
Aww.
And the oxytocin will last for a couple of days mm. in my brain. But when I look at dopamine, will last for seconds.
Oh,
and then I got to go get more.
Oh, no. Well, this is a serious problem because that actually feels good because I know when I see those cat videos and I just laugh, it's so great. So we're talking to Dwight Bain, who's a well-known counselor in the local area. He's the founder of LifeWorks here in Central Florida. And today we're talking about having a good life and getting the mental illness and the mental stress and anxiety out of your lives. So we'll be back in just a minute. We're going to take a minute to talk to our sponsors and we're going to rejoin with Dwight Bain in just a moment. Be right back.
Where voice meets vision. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. I'm Mary and I'm talking to Dwight Bain, your favorite counselor that you've ever met. Because let's face it, Dwight has been around for a while and he has helped and cured so many people of so many issues. And in today's world, we're dealing with a lot of mental illness. So we're talking about the mental anxiety and the stress and depression. And so Dwight has so many helpful tips. You got to get your notebook out and write down some of these things because they're so helpful. So Dwight, before we took the break, we were talking about the slow dopa or the dopamine hit that you get from scrolling, which hits your brain, and it's meant to, it's a good thing though, right? If you...
Well, let's talk about it.
Okay.
Let's talk about brain chemistry,
right?
So you got four main brain neurotransmitters. We're talking about dopamine first. When somebody's addicted to something, it's because part of the brain says, I need that tobacco, that high fructose corn syrup. I Ooh. Need that pornography. I need that crypto. I need to buy that stuff on that website. I've got to have alcohol. Blah, and the part of the brain...
Yeah.
Makes them go do things. And later they say,
why did I do that?
I should not have done that.
Yeah.
Right. So we all don't think tobacco is a great idea. I'll use that as an example. And we all know people who say, I know I shouldn't smoke, but I do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what's happening? Willpower
mm-hmm.
doesn't work
mm-hmm.
ever, but we convince ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so dopamine is this brain chemical that we can get addicted to the hit. It's instant. It's exciting. Mm. It's like going to a casino.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, bells ringing
right.
and lights flashing and ding, 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 ding. You're a winner. Ding, 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 ding,
right.
ding, ding, ding. And because that dopamine keeps our brain engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And right now there's an epidemic of young
yes.
men gambling
yes.
on their phones.
Mm.
It's illegal in most states, but it's not regulated in any state because it makes a lot of money for the casinos. And they're on the screen thinking, I'm going to get rich. I'm going to get rich. You know, March Madness, I'm going to get rich. And basketball, no, you're not.
Wow.
The casino's going to win, but why do they believe that? Dopamine. Now let's, same brain chemical, but now let's slow down the drip.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make it slow. It's an all skate, ladies and gentlemen. It's an all skate, and we're going to go slow. Got some Lou Rawls on the radio.
Oh, I love it.
Right?
Oh, right?
And so slow dopamine is purposeful activity,
okay,
like working out. Or for me, slow dopamine is wandering through a bookstore.
Yeah, I love that, too.
And it's incredibly pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fast. Slow dopamine, for my daughter, she and her husband, they'll go to the farmer's market and they'll pick out ingredients for a certain kind of recipe and they'll spend hours making a dinner.
Oh.
Slow dopa. Slow dopa is purposeful.
Okay.
It's meaningful. Many times it's relational. And I would add too that it's spiritual because I think that God designed us that we when we really connect, and you and I have been at events where it feels like, this feels a little bit like heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's connecting and there's a sense of this matters.
Right.
This, we're doing something significant with people that matter, people that we care about. So dopamine, slowly gives me a sense of purpose and meaning. So we're not against these brain chemicals. No. It's how God made our brain work. Mm-hmm. And before the break, we talked about oxytocin, which is that that feeling of being hugged. And so whether you're young or old, if you're hugged by somebody you care about, or sometimes after something traumatic has happened and we're talking to young people and how do we help kids feel safe after a shooting or after something catastrophic.
They get the slow dopa.
Well, and we'll say, put your hands like you're, you know, cross your arms and take and put your hands right above your elbows and close your eyes and pretend that your grandma's giving you the biggest hug.
So beautiful.
And you'll feel loved and you'll feel cared for and you'll feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we do? We just hacked your brain to feel a certain way.
Okay.
So I'll call it the bad guys on the other side of the screen that are trying to, you know, get people addicted.
Sure.
They have a clear agenda to make you addicted to take your money.
That's right.
But we can use the same thing, we'll call it a brain hack.
Okay.
As parents, grandparents, as educators, counselors, pastors, figure out, here's how we can do things so that people feel this connection. Now, all of a sudden, Mary, they want to go to church. They want to hang out with their family. Instead of saying, my grandparents are boring, I want to go to grandma's house because there's a brain hack that draws me, just like when we say to someone, you know, where does your kid love to go? Well, they love to go to the ball game. They love to go to the concert. They're not going to meet the player. They're not going to meet, you know, Taylor Swift.
Sure.
So where do they want to go? It's an excitement. It's a brain hack. What if you could create that?
For sure.
At other places like home and family and local connection. And I believe you can.
Oh, I think so too. Does the low or the slow dopa replace the high hit need?
That's a great question. No, is the short answer. To be able to say doing an opioid makes you feel amazing. I had a relative who was addicted to cocaine who said, Dwight, if somebody tells you that being addicted to cocaine is boring, they have never tried cocaine.
Oh.
So the opioid, you're going to feel invincible.
Okay.
And the slow dopamine is not going to make you feel invincible.
Okay.
If you're, you know, preparing for a marathon and you're running, you're going to feel strong but not invincible. It's not a superhuman that drugs would give.
Oh.
Or when somebody's feeling like, wow, I'm going to go to this strip club and I'm going to be with this person. And their brain basically lies to them. If you go back into scripture, the strongest man that lived on the planet, Samson, was destroyed by strippers.
Yeah.
Strongest man physically could not control the lust in his eyes because that feeling of dopamine, of here's this woman showing me attention, and Samson, even though he was warned, absolutely lost everything. It cost him his life.
Oh, sure. And that happens to so many people. It happens to marriages. They all of a sudden are, their wife is at home or their husband is at work and they're not getting the attention, and they find somebody and they start to have a little friendship and a flirtation, and that dopamine hits, or that feels so good that they hadn't gotten in a long time.
Number one reason, it's a good point. Number one reason that people divorce is because of adultery. Mm-hmm. Number one thing they fight about
money.
Is money.
Yeah.
But the number one reason they divorce is adultery. And because I've had a chance to be a counselor a long time, I've talked to hundreds of people that have had affairs, and I've always asked them the same question. Did you think this was going to end in an affair? Hundreds of times somebody said, never.
Right.
But get this. But this person was so easy to talk to.
Mm.
All right. So if couples want to affair-proof their marriage, as one writer describes it, work on communication. Go to counseling for communication. Lean into Dr. John Gottard's principles about communication. By working on communication, like Dr. Gottard talks about, all of a sudden, this person's easy to talk to, except I'm legally married to them, so I've maybe saved my relationship because I learned to communicate. The master deceiver says, you don't need to work on your marriage. Oh, look, this person at work is really friendly and easy to talk to. And what happens? Ask Samson how that ends up.
Yes, never will.
And if people are able to step back and go, wait a minute, you mean, Dwight, I can save my relationship before it all blows up?
Mm.
You sure can.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's really distant? You still can save it by knowing the right steps, getting honest.
Yeah.
Remember that every 12-step program starts by first step. Oh, my gosh, I'm in trouble.
Mm.
I need help. Second step, I surrendered to God.
Yeah.
And then I work through different steps because you can't do life alone. We need other people to help us. That's why people listening to your show are listening for expertise, strategies, tools to help them live a better quality of life. And the good news is this is backed by neuroscience, but it's absolutely straight out of the scriptures.
So phenomenal. And I know that you have helped so many people and that you have won the hearts of people who didn't think they would ever go into counseling. And so that's something where a lot of, I know, friends of mine or what have you, their spouses or their boyfriends, girlfriends, do not want to expose their life to anybody outside. And so you just made a really important point that we need other people to do life well. And we need new strategies and new hacks. We didn't learn everything from our families. And so I hope that people will take that seriously and call your office. It's Life Works and in Winter Park. And so you have, and I know you have a team of people if you're not available. So, I want to talk just briefly. We're about ready to go into a break in a minute, but the gaming culture and for young men has been, it was my son got into it so much too.
Yeah.
And it makes them feel important. And
yeah.
There was a point in time where my son said, I want my real life to be as positive and have that much influence that I do, because everybody is there and they can send out messages and get hundreds of people following them. Is there an anecdote to the gaming culture, or is that just something we're going to have to keep dealing with as parents and losing our children to that?
I'm glad you asked that, because on March the 31st from 1 until 3:30 p.m., a group of leaders, you, me, Andre, some of the other guests you've had, hundreds of leaders will be downtown Orlando in partnership with the Orlando Magic Youth Foundation, and I'll be talking about breaking through. And the principle that I'll draw from is a quarter of a mile from the Kia Center, the old Amway Center, and it's called EA. Because when people say, you can't motivate young men, I just giggle and say, have you been to downtown Orlando? Electronic Arts, one of the biggest video game companies in the world, would say, you can motivate young men to not even want to eat, get up and go to the bathroom 20 hours a day to be gaming. You can motivate a young man if you know how to get into his brain.
Mm.
And I'll be teaching how to motivate young men for work. Meaningful work, instead of staying scared, playing a video game or watching porn or trying to gamble on crypto or a casino app.
Yeah.
The video game guys, then the designers showed, here's how to motivate young men, how to lean into the things they're interested in. Because, Mary, some guys, you know, teenage guys will play car games and they would never play a war game. Some guys play war games, but they would never go on to an NBA or a, you know, PGA golf game. Some are building things. And here's what it comes down to. The game designers look at the design of that young man's brain and they sell stuff. I'm going to share strategies at Breaking Through to look at the design of a boy to help him become a strong man.
That's what we need.
That keeps me motivated.
That's so great. And what it's happening, they're avoiding relationships with females. They're not getting married. They're not moving out of their house. They're causing their parents stress. And they're not getting jobs. They're not making money. They aren't growing up because of that dopamine hit, because of the way that EA and all of the different groups have captured their brains and their hearts. So we're talking with Dwight Bain right now. He's a well-known counselor with LifeWorks in Winter Park, and he's told us about the event Breaking Through at the IKEA Center on March 31st and from 1 until 3:30 with leaders from Central Florida. We're going to take a quick break and go to our sponsors, and we'll be right back with Dwight Bain.
Your greatest impact is still ahead. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Mary Gardner, and we're talking to Dwight Bain, well-known counselor and therapist, author. He is somebody that so many people around the country have relied on to help them go through change. And today we're talking about the mental anxiety and depression and how people are losing their jobs over AI. We haven't really touched on that. But Dwight, we're talking about a lot of these young boys who are addicted to the games and what happens to all of us when we get addicted to the scrolling, which is a sincere problem. And I'd love to know, what are the strategies to be able to start weaning yourself off? Or if you're a parent, to help your children find other ways to find meaning in life that makes you happy. How do we start to do that?
Well, everything starts with a stop. I have to stop and look at me before I say to my partner, or my kid, you struggle with messiness. Okay, I need to stop and look to see, is my life okay on messiness. There's many a mom that's fussed at their kids about your, you know, the teenager's room is a mess. And the teenager may not have the courage to say it, but the teenager says, Mom, your closet is a wreck. So I need to stop with integrity.
Mm.
So if I say, you got to get off your screen, I've seen many parents lose their teenagers, especially teenage daughters, because I'll say, you're addicted to your screen. You've got to get off of TikTok. You've got to get off of Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And the teenager may not have the courage to say it, but the teenager's like, Mom, you're addicted to Facebook and Pinterest.
Mm-hmm.
So don't yell at me about my addiction. You know, it's like a parent saying to their teenager, you can't smoke weed. Stop it. It's wrong. It's bad for your health. And the teenager may not have the courage to say, Mom, you're 50 pounds overweight. And you're talking to me about weed?
Mm.
So everything starts with a stop. And I'm going to stop and I'm going to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Or maybe find a trusted counselor, a life coach, maybe somebody that I trust at church. Everything's about trust.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody needs counseling, but everybody needs a safe community where I can trust a person to tell me the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, one of those people has a really deep voice. WTLN listeners know Steve Brown.
Yeah.
And Steve's a wonderful friend of mine, and Steve has helped me to see blind spots. I remember once vividly, I was frustrated about something happening in Zimbabwe. And I was saying to Steve, have you seen what's happening in Zimbabwe? And this is happening. And Steve, with that deep voice, said, could you just hush? We need to order lunch. Can you even spell Zimbabwe? And I went, Z. No, I can't spell Zimbabwe. He said, if you can't spell it, let God worry about it.
Oh, powerful.
What great advice. We need safe people.
We do.
And for many listeners to this station across the Salem network, they have people that they trust. And if they said, you know, Dr. David Jeremiah, if he said, well, you know what? I'd listen to that. Okay, so pretend that Dr. Jeremiah is saying, before you fuss at your marriage partner about being addicted to watching sports on TV, are you addicted to watching Hallmark movies on TV? Start with a stop and then look up and say, God, give me courage.
Yep.
Listen, the greatest indicator of success in our lives, Mary, is the number of hard conversations we're willing to have.
That's really powerful, Dwight. I want to go back to something you just said a few minutes ago, is that it all starts with trust. And we have a huge loneliness epidemic because of the scrolling and because of the satisfying nature of just spending all those hours by yourself. And so then when they wake up and look at their own life, they realize, oh my goodness, my job is suffering. My relationships are suffering.
Health.
And their health is suffering because time just goes. And what you said, you wake up, what'd you do all weekend? I don't know. I don't know what I did. Well, yeah, you sat on your phone the whole time and didn't connect with other people. So you're talking about stop, look at your life. Where could a person go if they have no relationship? Where would a person initially start? Where's that first step that would lead them into something more powerful for their life?
Well, in Central Florida, it's a great question, Mary, because there is a loneliness epidemic. The Centers for Disease Control said it's the greatest mental health crisis in our country. It's not anxiety. No, it's loneliness, chronic loneliness. You will die 7 years sooner if you're chronically lonely. And where does it start? I believe it starts by finding a local church. And if you grew up Presbyterian and you're mad at the Presbyterians because a church hurt, okay, there's Methodist churches. If you grew up Methodist and you're mad at the Methodist, there's Baptist churches. If you're really mad at the Baptist, there's Catholic and Episcopal Nazarene churches. In Central Florida, where I grew up, there are over 5,000 churches. In any direction, there's a group of people.
That's right.
And if you say, well, I don't like that. Okay, stop. The goal was so you wouldn't be lonely.
Yes.
If you say, oh, I'm mad at God. All right, well, then go volunteer at the Christian Service Center and feed the homeless, or volunteer at Animal Rescue. Volunteer or attending a church. So how do I break out of loneliness, get away from the screen, start with a stop, and then look for where there are people doing things that matter. And there's after-school tutoring through Junior Achievement and the Girls Club and the Boys Club. There are hundreds and hundreds of places in Central Florida.
Absolutely.
You can volunteer, and you can do something that matters. And if you say, well, I don't want to volunteer over there, okay, could you take a child with special needs who's riding on a horse at Freedom Ride and just walk in a circle holding onto the horse's bridle? There's a lot of things you can do. Could you hand a glass of Gatorade at the Track Shack events where they need volunteers to hand glasses of Gatorade to the runners who are running by? There is a way to not be lonely,
but it
starts by stopping and knowing nobody's coming for you. Listen, nobody's coming for you. You have to start reaching out after you stop complaining about loneliness and say, I'm going to go do something this weekend.
And I don't know if people really recognize they're lonely, but they sit and, you know, scroll even more. And so what you're saying is stop. Let's take an assessment of your life. Write down, who are your connected people? Who are those trust-filled relationships? Who could you call in the middle of the night if you needed somebody?
Good question.
So if you are in that place where, like a lot of people, I remember a friend of mine said, Mary, I have over 5,000 visitors, people on my Facebook page, but nobody to call in the middle of the night. And I think that is a very valid question to start creating value in relationships. So when you go to volunteer, you could go to volunteermatch.com or any of these places to find places to volunteer. Start asking questions of other people and be interested and curious. And that's the other thing. Social skills have really taken a hit because they don't know how to connect. Yeah. And so they can go online and learn how to do it. There's all sorts of lessons and things, but really just start to ask questions and be curious of other people.
Have you even heard of something called a charisma coach?
Someone who
helps you know how to connect? Because the single greatest skill that you need, especially for boys, is social skills. Nobody teaches that, Mary.
Yeah.
That's why it's essential that people get, you know, their young men, especially college age, that are trying to get a job.
Yeah.
So many of them don't have the social skills to even be able to function. 42% of college age guys have never asked a girl
on a date. That is such a...
They're terrified. They have no social skills. And they'll say, well, I've got friends in Australia that I game with. That's not a real friendship.
Really,
come on.
That is not. And I love that. I do have a program called From Introvert to Influencer, How to Connect, Communicate, and Captivate. We'll have to relaunch. And it really is an essential skill. I wanted to talk also about meaningful work. One of the things to substitute, once you are in a place of recognizing that you have a problem, you have an addiction, you're willing to look at it, what are those things that can create that feeling of belonging? You talked about meaningful work. What does that mean and how do we find that?
Good question. So I want your listeners to think of two things. One path we're going to call a job, a J-O-B. Those are letters that stand for just over broke. A job is about money. You do it to pay the rent because the rent comes due on the first. And nothing wrong with a job. Find one that matches your gifts and your talents. It won't be as frustrating. If you like people, right, like you, Mary, that person would do well in a coffee shop. If somebody says, I'm like an introvert, and I don't think I'd do as well with people. One psychologist described it well. Introverts wake up every day with 5 coins of social connection. Extroverts wake up with 0. And the extrovert goes through the day collecting the coins of the introverts. The introverts get exhausted because they're running out of coins. And the extrovert's having a grand time feeling wealthy with 200 coins, but every introvert around them, right? So if I'm introverted, then to know you can drive a forklift and nobody will ever talk to you, and you can move pallets of stuff from this side to that side in an air-conditioned warehouse for $50,000 a year. So we look at a person's personality. We look at their gifting and we lean in because this is all about a job. And jobs are fine. But if somebody says, no, I don't want money, you get that from a job. I want meaning. Now we're talking about career. And to find meaningful career, it's not a one and done. It's not, I got a degree, my master's degree in this, and that is going to be my meaningful career. It's try before you buy. It's many, there's a course I took at Stanford called Designing Your Life, and you can get the book, Designing Your Life, for free online. And designing your life is try many different things, and that's how you can see, oh, this is meaningful. That one, not as much. This thing on this particular job, I really like. So if you have dozens of jobs and you're paying attention, you can craft meaningful work, and that meaningful work will go on well into your 70s and 80s and 90s. Warren Buffett just retired at almost 100.
So
Dick
crazy.
Van Dyke is still dancing and making people laugh because if you have meaning-filled work, but also remember, Warren Buffett didn't start until he was 55. When you look at, you know, Bill Marriott, who started the Marriott Corporation, did not start until he was 55.
That's mind-blowing.
So when we look at where do people find meaning, I don't think you can find it in your 20s and 30s and 40s. But if you're paying attention to the tension, if you lean in, you can find meaningful work in your 50s and 60s and 70s and be happier than any 20-year-old out there.
I love hearing that. That's so great. You also talked just briefly, meaningful work over in Germany and other countries that people start early. Share with that really quick before.
Sure. So in many parts of the world, they start teaching kids in middle school about design. In the U.S., we tell people you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. And the kids will go, I'm going to be in the NBA. And about, you know, ninth grade, they go, I'm never tall enough to be in the NBA. So in our country, we tell kids anything. In other countries, they say, what is your design? And as a person of faith, I believe that when somebody can find the design early, maybe by middle school, and lean into that design, they don't struggle with mental health problems because they're too busy having fun building a meaningful career.
Life. That's so great. Well, we're talking to Dwight Bain of LifeWorks in Winter Park in Central Florida, and we're talking life. It's been just a great conversation. We're going to take a quick moment to go to some of our sponsors, and we'll be back with our last segment in just a few minutes. See you then.
Reach out to Mary Gardner at marygardner.com. Open doors, build a legacy. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Mary Gardner, and we're talking to Dwight Bain. We're having a fascinating conversation today. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about having meaningful work and the fact that AI is going to replace so many people's jobs. We've got depression. We've got anxiety. And if you're a parent, you have a boy, you might be seeing him stuck at his computer doing the gaming thing. So we've been having a great conversation. And if you want to see a repeat of this amazing show, go to marygardner.com. And all of the shows that I've had have been on the marygardner.com website. We'd love to hear any of your suggestions for guests. But today, our guest is Dwight Bain. And Dwight, I want to delve a little bit into faith and identity and real solutions, because it seems to me that because we're living in, and I think everyone can agree, we're living in a pretty evil world. It's been exposed. So many people have seen things on the internet that are just incomprehensible. We can't even understand or accept those things in our brain. And so I want to talk about this spiritual renewal that's happening. And how does faith fit into all of this? I know that you're a believer and a strong one at that. So how does faith fit in? And how do young people today feel spiritually anchored or spiritually lost?
Yeah, great questions. And so let's start with the God-shaped vacuum. Every human feels a sense of emptiness inside. Some people try to fill it up with stuff. We might call that materialism or consumerism. Other people, they take their emptiness and they chase relationship, and they go from person to person to person to person. Other people chase accomplishments and they get more degrees and job titles. And some people, they just, you know, buy a car every 10 minutes, or they buy a motorcycle, or they're buying the next boat or golf club. So that emptiness, how can I tell if it's there? Well, I'm breathing oxygen. Every human feels emptiness. Now, if I have a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, then God's spirit fills the emptiness, and I don't have to go buy a boat every 10 minutes, and I don't have to go chase things. Because I'll feel a word inside that everybody needs, and the word is called peace. The old song, peace like a river in my soul. And so when I can fill it with God's presence, so people feel that. The good news, the younger generation absolutely flocking back to something that matters.
That's right.
And flocking back to they didn't get hurt by church because maybe they didn't grow up in church, but they're looking for an answer. And Jesus Christ was and is and forever will be the answer for the emptiness in our heart and in our soul. If somebody says, no, religion, okay, hold up. I'm talking about relationship with God through his son, Jesus. Religion has different agendas. And this group says you got to be baptized this way. And this group says, no, you got the wrong Bible. You need the one. It's got to have Jesus' words in red or it doesn't count. And the other people say, no, words of Jesus are in green because green is for go and red is for stop. And they all have, okay, stop. Jesus didn't have a Bible with words in red. There was no Bible when Jesus walked the earth, but there was relationship. It was each one sharing with one. He trained 12 disciples. One was deceived And the other ones went and built relationships, Mary, and it changed the world.
Changed the world.
Still does.
I agree with you about getting involved with a church. And I'm Catholic. I go to St. Margaret Mary in Winter Park. And I've just seen such a renewal. And it seems like people are embracing their faith so much more. Also, I'm a big fan of the Hallow app, which is Catholic-based. However, there's so many people that are not Catholic that are enjoying that and getting great stories and faith-based stories and things like that. And also on YouTube, it's really great. If you're looking for healing, you can comment on that and get scriptures. You can listen to scriptures all night long to start that connection. So if you don't have time to read, there are ways to get either spiritual messages of people who are professing the Christ as their center. You want to make sure, because there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people that are mystical in today's world.
There's weird stuff out
there. There's a lot of weird stuff. And so you want to make sure that their basis is a Christianity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Right. And then religion, if you find it, you can find great connection. I want to know, how does identity in God actually change mental health outcomes?
Right. So if you look at the popularity of a YouTube-based series called The Chosen, because it was about Jesus having real relationship and real conversations with the disciples. And here's the amazing thing when you think about what is counseling, right? So in the United States, counseling is you make an appointment with somebody who's got a PhD in something, and you go to their office and you close the door and you sign some confidentiality waivers from HIPAA, and you share your secret stories you wouldn't tell anybody else in the whole world, and you're having a conversation and a safe space. All right, here's a pro tip, ladies and gentlemen, and I've worked in this industry for decades. You don't have to do that. Not everybody needs counseling like that, but everybody needs community. We heal in community. We heal by sharing our story, the healing story in our life. When I grew up in the Baptist church, they called it testimony night, and you shared how God was working in your life.
So powerful.
And when you and I can share, here's how Jesus Christ changed my life.
Love that.
What happens is the anxiety goes down. Mm. What about clinical depression? Depression is not sadness. Depression is feeling nothing. Depression is biochemical. It's real, absolutely treatable. Same with anxiety, attention deficit disorder, obsessive compulsive disorder, all of the things you hear about. And every other person apparently in the United States now is a narcissist. And when somebody said, my dog is a narcissist, I said, I don't think you understand the term. No, my dog gaslights me. I don't think you understand the term, right?
Jeez, that's so crazy.
So instead of putting a label on it, it's stepping back to say, what is emotionally healthy?
That's right.
And it starts in a healthy relationship with God.
I love that.
And then a relationship that I can build with other people where it's accepting, it's forgiving.
Yeah.
And when people say, how can I tell? Well, there's love and joy and peace and gentle and good and kind and self-control and meekness and temperance. And when I start to look at the emotions of heaven, you and I can have right here on earth, but I have it because I've got God's spirit inside of me, and it allows me to forgive flawed humans like me.
It's amazing. It's so true. And I do think some of those core values, the forgiveness and connection and getting back to a conversation, what you were talking about, sharing stories, that's how we build connection, is really spending time with other people, sharing our stories. And right now, that's if you don't have someone that you can spend time with, there are so many stories of even Muslims becoming Christians and people understanding Jesus is showing up in their dreams. So there's such an alive, you know, thing that's happening right now. I just want to ask you one last thing. What, if you could, in 30 seconds, tell me, how has Christ changed your life?
Great question. My parents came to Central Florida because they escaped the mountains of Appalachia and they listened to Christian broadcasting, this station.
No. Oh.
My whole life. So when I was 10 years old, right, pre-puberty brain, I wanted to be a Christian psychologist on the radio in this city.
We're doing you're having your moment right now. This is phenomenal. I know you've been a radio star forever.
The reason I wanted to be in radio was because my parents, and so I grew up my whole life listening to Clyde Naramore on this station, who started the Naramore Christian Foundation, and he focused on biblical mental health. That's been my whole journey. And so how would I say, how did Christ change my life? It's through a microphone like this and a station like this of hearing God's truth as the foundation, and then depression, anxiety, relationship issues, self-discipline, bad habits, good habits, from the filter of God's word.
Well, you have been an example to so many of us. And I want to just take a break, and we're going to have a little segment called You Rock.
You Rock. You Rock. You Rock. You Rock.
So, Dwight, the You Rock section is because my brother, who was my bestie for many years, and he lived with scoliosis, and he ended up dying an early death. And the one thing he was able to do, even though he was in physical pain, was to encourage me and the people around him. And he always would tell me, Mary, you rock, you rock. And so I always come up with one person that rocks in my world. And I want to just identify that person right now as you, Dwight. You're the person in my world that has rocked. Aww, I'll tell you why. I mean, you not only are a counselor to many, but you were my counselor. And I don't want to cry, but you helped me through so many great times and hard times. And so I just want to tell you that I appreciate you. And that you rock. So thank you for being here today. It's really an honor.
It is indeed. Watching people facing the hardest times. I mean, good people facing the hardest time of their life.
Yeah.
And I lean in and I say, okay, you're going to survive this.
Yeah.
You're not going to die.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for a while. But you know what? You're going to get through this. You're going to heal.
I did.
And then your story is going to help so many other people heal.
Amen. Amen. You really have been. You walked through the journey with so many. I really appreciate you. And who in your world rocks? I want to hear that.
Well, you already heard about my amazing parents who, when I was a teenager, before I could drive, would take me to radio stations to stack up records because I wanted to be a Christian psychologist on the radio. And when I think about people in my life, I would say Steve Brown, my spiritual father, because Steve always believed in me. Steve said, you know what? God is bigger than this. I grew up Baptist and I didn't know anything about Presbyterians. And Steve was the one who helped me to see you don't have to be Presbyterian to go to heaven, but why take a chance?
I love it.
And he loved me through so many transitions and changes. Having wonderful mentors and friends like Pat Williams. When I think about people that made a difference, it's people through microphones like this.
I love that, Dwight. You're so special, and you have so many friends and fans. Today, we've been talking to Dwight Bain, and today's conversation reminds us that young people don't just need discipline. They need direction. They don't need rules. They need purpose, and they don't need correction. They need connection. And Scripture says, Isaiah 40:31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. This is our opportunity, parents, to step in, guide, mentor, and care, because when a young person or any of us finds purpose, they find life changes. Dwight, take us out with one last word for our beautiful audience today.
Listen, you took notes. Now it's time to go from information to application. It's time to take the notes and to put them into place, connect with other people, and tell people to listen next week to Mary's program for more tools just like this.
Oh, man, Dwight, you are powerful. And again, what Dwight said, stop and look at your life. And we all have things and all have addictions. We want to make sure they're healthy for our families and for our world. And you were made for a greater purpose. God has made you for this time. And you can have the peace that surpasses all understanding if you do know that Christ is our Savior. Thank you so much. Thank you for joining the Mary Gardner Show. You can join us at marygardner.com. And we'll see you next week at theanswerorlando.com. God bless. Thanks, Dwight.